an hour's too long.
Well, it was almost just after midnight. It is just after midnight now. And our post-initial radio obituary is for Jóhann Jóhannesson. He is an Icelandic composer who wrote music for a wide array of media, including theater, dance, television. I'm hearing stuff in my headphones. His work includes was stylized by its blending of traditional orchestral and contemporary electronic elements. Jóhann released solo albums from 2002 onward. In 2016, he signed with Deutsche Grammophon, through which he released his last solo album, Orphi. Some of his works in film include the original scores for Prisoners, Arrival, The Theory of Everything. Jóhann was nominated for an Academy Award for the Best Original Score for The Theory of Everything and won a Golden Globe for the Best Original Score for that film. He was found dead on February 9th in his apartment in Berlin. He was 48 years old. We will hear from Jóhann Jóhannesson's aforementioned last solo album, Orphi. This track is called A Pile of Dust, which I guess you can say he's become. And he's our post-initial radio obituary. Our next radio obituary is for Bob Smith, a groundbreaking gay comedian. Bob Smith, who was widely regarded as the first openly gay comic to perform on The Tonight Show, and who went on to write fiction and nonfiction books full of heart and humor, died on January 20th at his home in Manhattan. He was 59. His partner, Michael Zam, said the cause was amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Well, let's just call it Lou Gehrig's disease. It's easier to say that. Which has been diagnosed, he's diagnosed more than a decade ago. The degenerative disease, it gradually deprives those who have it of muscular movement. Mr. Smith's humor was gentle but smart, even when navigating the subject of his sexuality during a time when mainstream audiences were not accustomed to hearing such material. And he's our next radio obituary here on Bubbles in the Think Tank.
Next guest is a very funny stand-up comic and an author whose latest book is Way to Go Smith. He's appearing at the Improv in Hollywood this weekend. Please welcome Mr. Bob Smith.
My name is Bob Smith, and I'm originally from Buffalo, New York. Thanks. And I have to tell you, I come from a very conservative family, and it wasn't easy telling my parents that I'm gay. In fact, I made my carefully worded announcement at Thanksgiving. I said, "Mom, would you please pass the gravy to a homosexual?" She passed it to my father. A terrible scene followed. Then my mother says to me, "Bob, you're gay. Are you seeing a psychiatrist?" I said, "No, I'm seeing a lieutenant in the Navy." Now we talk about everything in my family. I can't stand it. I was home recently. My brother Greg's there. He had read some article about gay marriages, and he goes to me, "Well, Bob, you're gay. What do you think?" And my mother goes, "Greg, that's not nice. Don't remind him." Oh, yeah, like that had entirely slipped my mind. That is how I get all my material. I just call home and talk to my family. It's true. Thank you. The first time I ever was on TV, I called home. I go, "Mom, next month I'm going to be on TV." She goes, "That's great, Bob." I go, "But Mom, this means now that everyone's going to know I'm gay. Are you and Dad okay about that?" No lie. She goes, "Well, your father and I talked about it, but we thought there's a lot of people named Bob Smith. Who's going to know?" She's mental. And I had kind of a rough year. I was in a relationship that ended after 10 years. And you know what I've decided one of the best things about being in a relationship is? It's that it gets to bring someone home to meet your family, and they notice things about your family that you never noticed because you always thought your family was perfectly normal. Let me give you an example. The very first time I brought Tom home to meet my parents, one day later he goes, "Bob, have you ever noticed that your mother has this habit of making a statement, questioning it, and then finally disagreeing with herself?" I said, "What the hell are you talking about?" So we were driving through this older section of Buffalo, and my mother goes, "The houses around here are nice. The people take good care of them." "Well, not everyone does." "I guess it's not that nice. I don't like this area." Now, thank you. Now, you guys know I'm gay, duh, but the most important thing you should know about me, because this formed my entire personality, is that my birthday's on December 24th. Do we have any December birthdays in here? We must have a few, right? Yeah. Because we people with December birthdays now know from years of experience what the three wise men said when they delivered their gifts. "These are for both your birthday and Christmas." The cheap bastards. I'm sorry. That is like the worst time of year to have a birthday. No lie, when I was a kid, my mother once gave me a pack of batteries and goes, "Well, you'll need them tomorrow." I did like 3 years of therapy on that. You guys are great. Thank you. But you know, you guys are great. I think homophobia is based on ignorance. This became so clear to me with the whole gays in the military thing. Because I remember watching the news and hearing an Air Force pilot who said that he would rather quit the military than work with someone gay. My first thought was, what's an Air Force pilot gonna do then? Get a job with an airline? Because we all know there's no one gay in the travel industry. Hello? We're everywhere. We're even in the mafia. And don't mess with the gay mafia. They'll break the legs on your coffee table. You could end up in the river wearing a pair of cement pumps. It can get ugly. I was in South Carolina. This is like the stupidest thing. In South Carolina, a state representative tried to pass a law banning gay men and lesbians from adopting children because he thinks gay households are the breeding grounds for future homosexuals. Okay, I'm only going to explain this once. Heterosexuals are the breeding grounds for future homosexuals. Like, that idea is hard to follow. And people get so upset about gay parents. You know, there might be some advantages. You know, if you had two gay fathers, you'd always have the best Halloween costume on the block. I actually was in Ann Arbor, Michigan. This was great. In Ann Arbor, Michigan, someone brought me the local newspaper. The local newspaper prints gay and lesbian wedding announcements. I think this is great. I can't wait until newspapers all over America start doing this. Mr. and Mrs. Stephen Douglas have reluctantly announced the engagement of their son, Timothy, to Mark Feldman, the son of the stunned Dr. and Mrs. Saul Feldman. A May commitment ceremony is planned with an awkward reception to immediately follow. At the parents' request, there will be an open bar during the ceremony. Thank you guys very much. Thank you.
Our pre-ultimate radio obituary is for Rudolph G. Wilson. He was an American professor, writer, storyteller, and public speaker known by his students as Papa Rudy. He was the first African-American member and later the first elected black president of the Edwardsville, Illinois School Board. Through the 1950s, he was educated at UCLA, served in the military, and did grad work at Stanford. At Claremont Grad School in 1965, he was the first African-American to teach in an all-white school. He was, until retirement in 2009, the assistant provost for cultural and social diversity at Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville, as well as holding an academic rank of associate professor of secondary education in that department, in the Department of Curriculum and Instruction. As part of the School of Education at the Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville, in his early 70s, Wilson's work required him to look after student teachers and visit different schools to shadow and mentor them. However, when Wilson walked into the Granite City High School one day, it was made very clear to him that he was not wanted simply for the color of his skin. And so he went back to the university. The university then decided not to send any student teachers to Granite City until they accepted whoever the university sends, regardless of race. The impasse lasted for over a decade until 1991, when Mr. Randy Burgess, an African-American, broke the Granite City's unwritten policy concerning student teachers. In an article in the Granite High World, published on March 1st, 2017, the editor apologized to Wilson for the way he was treated by the city and encouraged readers to, quote, reflect upon stories such as Rudy's and millions of other marginalized people and ultimately learn from our past. He died on December 4th in Illinois. He was 82. Above all, Wilson was a storyteller. He performed one-man shows as well as extensive role-play improvisations and characters in African-American history. He also volunteered for story hours at local children's libraries. And he is our pre-ultimate radio obituary for tonight. Now, you would think, being a storyteller and public speaker, I'd be able to find one of his stories online. You would think. But I had no such luck. So in the interest of black history and storytelling, both of which Rudolph G. Wilson was passionate about, I offer the following.
What's thy name?
Harriet, ma'am.
No, please, no. Thy family name.
Tubman. Harriet Tubman, ma'am.
Mrs. Tubman, my name is Garrett. Edna Garrett. Remember that. I live in the house up yonder. Good day, Mr. Thompson. What was that? Oh, yes, it's quite hot enough for me. Yes, thank thee. Mrs. Tubman, if ever thou shouldst need a cool drink for a long journey, come to my back door. When thou dost hear me say who's... What was that, Mr. Thompson? A problem? Oh, no, there's no problem. I was just talking to thy field hand here about my poll
more beans. Yes, yes, I was wondering if thou could spare her on Saturday for a couple of hours. Yes? Well, good. I'll just settle the hours with her. Mrs. Tubman, come to my back door. When I say who's there, answer a friend with friends.
A friend with friends?
Oh, Mr. Thompson! Yes, thank thee! Good day, Mrs. Tubman.
Good day, ma'am. A friend with friends. They was friends, all right, them Quakers. I known a past lover in my 90-some-odd years. Little did I know that when Miss Edna came to talk to me in the field that day, how soon I would be running along the track of that Underground Railroad.
Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. A long way from home, a long way from home.
I heard through the grapevine of slaves that I was about to be sold south on the chain gang. Now, I knew that a lot of slaves never made it to the Deep South alive on the chain gang. And since I had my sleeping sickness from the time that overseer threw that iron weight at my skull, I knew that I might fall asleep in the chain gang or get trampled to death. So I decided to take Miss Edna up on her offer and make my break for freedom.
You're listening to a production called Are You Ready, My Sister? The Story of Harriet Tubman, produced by the Underground Railway Theater. They were a local socially conscious theater troupe in the Boston area in the 1990s. We're going to hear just a little bit more of this, as it is our Black History Radio obituary for Rudolph G. Wilson here on WMFO in Medford.
Are you ready, my brother?
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready for that journey?
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready, my sister?
Oh, yeah.
I'm waiting for that chariot to carry me home. I'm gonna ride that chariot in the morning, Lord. I'm gonna ride that chariot in the morning, Lord. I'm getting ready for that judgment day, my Lord. My Lord,
I'm gonna ride the chariot in the morning, Lord. I'm gonna ride the chariot in the morning, Lord. I'm getting ready for that judgment day, my Lord.
My Lord, are you ready, my sister?
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready for that journey?
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready, my brother?
Oh, yeah.
I'm waiting for that chariot to carry me home. I'm gonna ride the chariot in the morning, Lord. I'm gonna ride the chariot in the morning, Lord. I'm getting ready for that judgment day, my Lord. My Lord, I'm gonna ride the chariot in the morning, Lord. I'm gonna ride the chariot in the morning, Lord. I'm getting ready for that judgment day, my Lord. My Lord.
Woo! There used to be a newspaper in Boston, Massachusetts called the Boston Commonwealth. And on July 10th, 1863, they wrote an article about that raid. The article said, Colonel Montgomery and his gallant band of 300 black soldiers, under the guidance of a black woman named Harriet Tubman, dashed into enemy territory, struck a bold and effective blow, and brought out near 800 slaves.
800, Harriet? Still thou wast paid nothing for thy work.
That's right, Miss Bradford. That hurt pretty bad. But the worst was when I was coming back here to Auburn after the war.
Why? Harriet, what happened then?
I was riding a train. This time I was legit. I had a pass from War Secretary Seward himself and a bunch of other letters saying who I was and what I had done for the Army. Didn't make no difference. A white conductor told me, get on out of here and into the baggage car where you belong. I wouldn't move. I showed him my pass from Secretary Seward, but he wouldn't believe it was real. He didn't even look at my other papers. He tried to move me by force, but he couldn't budge me. It wasn't for none that I had pulled those big barges for Master Thompson or carried worn-out fugitives on my back for miles. He called another conductor, and they still couldn't move me.
I shall not be moved.
No, I said.
I shall not be moved.
I ain't nobody's baggage no more.
Just like a tree that's standing by the water.
I ain't moving. I got the right.
I shall not be moved.
It took three of those conductors to throw this here conductor into the baggage car.
We shall not be moved.
Just like a tree that's planted
by the water. In 1953 in Montgomery, Alabama, Rosa Parks was told by a white bus driver that she had to move to the back of the bus, where then, by law, black folks were supposed to sit. Well, she looked at him and she said,
no. I ain't moving.
Well, if these people ain't moving, maybe it's time for me to move on. I mean, this is supposed to be Bubbles in the Think Tank. Which it is Bubbles in the Think Tank, but it might be getting a little bit too serious for a program like Bubbles in the Think Tank. We are supposed to be silly. Thankfully, Belinda is out of reach and can't strangle me for what I just did. But in all honesty, she did send me this particular obit as one of the many she did not get to, so be that as it may. But you, the loyal posse, are still here and you deserve what you've tuned in for. So with that, we'll turn to our ultimate radio obituary, which is for Reverend Billy Graham. Oh boy, this is going to be a fun one. He was an American Christian evangelist and an ordained Southern Baptist minister who became well-known internationally after 1949. He has been looked upon as one of the most influential preachers of the 20th century. He held large indoor and outdoor rallies with sermons that were broadcast on radio and television, some are still being rebroadcast into the 21st century. In his six decades of television, Graham hosted annual Billy Graham Crusades, which ran from 1947 until his retirement in 2005. Graham was a spiritual advisor to American presidents and provided spiritual counsel for every president from Harry Truman to Barack Obama. He was particularly close to Dwight D. Eisenhower, Lyndon Baines Johnson, and Richard Nixon. Some of the advice to Nixon included ending the Vietnam War quickly by bombing the dams in North Vietnam. Never mind that it would have killed millions of innocent civilians. Those were pagans anyway. They're all going to hell, right? So that didn't matter. In fact, John Grebe, former WMFO DJ and current WZBC DJ, phoned in with a comment about Billy Graham that Diane did write down. And so you're on mic number three there, huh, Diane? So let's see, what do you have to add to this radio obituary here?
In his early days of preaching, the Reverend Graham would tell audiences that heaven measured 1,600 miles in height, depth, and width, and was the ultimate in upward mobility. We are going to sit around the fireplace and have parties, and the angels will wait on us, and we'll drive down the golden streets in a yellow Cadillac convertible.
Sounds almost delightful. To his credit, he insisted on racial integration for his revivals and crusades, and in 1953 he invited Martin Luther King Jr. Oh, in 1953 is when he insisted that. He invited Martin Luther King Jr. to preach with him at a revival in New York City in 1957. Yet he was also known to have anti-Semitic views. Billy Graham died on February 21st, and he is our ultimate Radio Obituary here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
Hello, friends. I've got a confession to make. You know, I used to be a dirty, beer swilling, degenerate playmate. Yes, friends, I used to smoke a lot of grass. I used to peddle my ass. But not anymore, friends. Not ever since that fantastic night I was coming home from the upstate gang. Fuck, suck, dope in. And I was hit by a blind flash of light, friends. And a voice boomed all around my ears saying, this is Jehovah. Over. Come on, Huckleberry, tell him all about it.
Now that I found Jesus,
now that I found Jesus,
I don't smoke dope no more.
I don't smoke dope no more.
I'm through with smack and fucking.
I'm through with smack and fucking.
'Cause Jesus is the Lord.
That's Mr. Simon Tommy White, taking us higher on the pedal steel guitar. And you know, friends, Jesus can take you higher. But it'll cost you, oh yes, because the mansion of God is not furnished for free. But there is color TV and showers in every room. And if you turn on color TV, you just might see someone like Bruce, our humpback drummer. Now, Bruce, and I know he wouldn't want me to tell you this, Bruce used to play in a blues band, but that didn't make him give him. Give up? No, Siri, it goddamn didn't, because Bruce is never gonna give up, because he ain't a quitter. Bruce is a hanger-on. Yes, Siri, Bob.
Now that I found Jesus,
now that I found Jesus,
I don't smoke dope no more.
Well, maybe just a little bit.
I'm through with smack and fucking.
I'm really through with smack and fucking.
'Cause Jesus is the
Jesus is the law around these parts.
I'm a Jesus loving boy.
Jesus wept. Friends, if you've got a friend and you think he or she may need Jesus, why don't you just pack him up and post him to my manager? And he'll take him all the way up that great big stairway to oblivion. Heaven, friends! And on that stairway, there are no losers. Everyone who goes up there is a winner. Everyone's number one. Except, and it's really painful to say this, friends, the last three couples. And they are out. O-U-T. Out. Isn't that life, friends? I mean, you know, sometimes you think you got there and you haven't.
Now that I found Jesus,
now that I found Jesus,
I don't smoke dope no more.
I ain't gonna smoke no less neither.
Through with smack and fucking.
I got that needle right out of my ass.
'Cause Jesus is.
Remember, friends, money will not buy you the keys to the doors of heaven, but it most certainly will buy you the keys to the doors of a Rolls Royce. Thank you kindly.
And here's to the churches of Richard Nixon and Billy Graham. glass once made of silver, now is caked with rust. And the Sunday morning sermons pander to their lust. Ah, the fallen face of Jesus is choking in the dust. And heaven only knows in which God he can trust.
I think Billy Graham should be castrated in his own.
No!
Let us have faith.
We all are in this cultural trance.
Oh, do not speak us, fuck up and say.
There is no God!
Do not speak us, fuck up and say. Christianity is stupid. 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 Stupid.
How about group marriage? Or marriage between daddies and little girls? How about marriage between a man and his donkey?
Thy kingdom come to every nation, thy will be done in everything we do. Lord, lead us now into temptation, but deliver us from those who think they're you. Send us forth to be of service, to build the schools, to dig the well, and deliver us from the creepy preachers with their narrow minds and very wide lapels.
Thy kingdom come to every
from high school, as if they practice what they preach.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom come to every nation. Thy will be done in everything we do.
Lord, lead us not.
Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from those who think they're you.
Lord, lead us not
into
the key of E minor? The Ten Commandments.
The Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments.
Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's ass. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's ass. The Ten Commandments.
The Ten Commandments.
Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not sculpt any sculpture stone. The Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not take my name in vain. Thou shalt not forget the Saturday. Thou shalt not take my name in vain. Thou shalt not forget the Saturday. The Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not take thy mom. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not hate thy ma and pa. Thou shalt not commit adultery. The Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments.
Now, folks, here's something else I got a problem with. The Ten Commandments, you know? Yeah, yeah, let me tell you. Listen, here's my problem. Why are there 10? You don't need 10. I think the list of commandments was deliberately and artificially inflated to get it up to 10. It's a padded list. Here's what they did. About 5,000 years ago, a bunch of religious and political hustlers got together to try to figure out how to control people, how to keep them in line. They knew people were basically stupid and would believe anything they were told. So they announced that God had given them some commandments. Up on a mountain, when no one was around, God had given them the Ten Commandments. But let me ask you this. When they were sitting around making this shit up, why did they pick 10? Why 10? Why not 9 or 11? I'll tell you why. Because 10 sounds official. 10 sounds important. They knew if it was 11, people wouldn't take it seriously. Say, what, are you kidding me? The 11 commandments? Get the fuck out of here. But 10. 10 sounds important. 10 is the basis for the decimal system. It's a decade. It's a psychologically satisfying number. The top 10, the 10 most wanted, the 10 best dressed. So having 10 commandments was really a marketing decision. And to me, it's clearly a bullshit list. It's a political document artificially inflated to sell better. I'm going to show you how you could reduce the number of commandments and come up with a list that's a little more workable and logical. We're going to start with the first three, and I'll use the Roman Catholic version because those are the ones I was taught as a little boy. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not have strange gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt keep holy the Sabbath. Right off the bat, the first three, pure bullshit. Sabbath day, Lord's name, strange gods, spooky language. Spooky language. Designed to scare and control primitive people. In no way does superstitious nonsense like this apply to the lives of intelligent, civilized humans in the 21st century. You throw out the first three commandments, whoosh, you're down to seven. Next, honor thy father and mother. Obedience, respect for authority. Just another name for controlling people. The truth is, obedience and respect should not be automatic. They should be earned. They should be based on the parents' performance. Parents' performance. All right? Some parents deserve respect. Most of them don't. Period. You're down to six. Now, in the interest of logic, something religion is very uncomfortable with, we're going to jump around the list a little bit. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Stealing and lying. Well, actually, these two both prohibit the same kind of behavior. Dishonesty, stealing, and lying. So you don't need two of them. Instead, you combine them and you call it thou shalt not be dishonest. And suddenly, you're down to five. And as long as we're combining, I have two others that belong together. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Once again, these two prohibit the same kind of behavior. In this case, marital infidelity. The difference is coveting takes place in the mind. And I don't think you should outlaw fantasizing about someone else's wife. Otherwise, what's a guy going to think about when he's waxing his carrot? But marital fidelity is a good idea, so we're going to keep the idea and call this one, thou shalt not be unfaithful. And suddenly, we're down to four. But when you think about it, honesty and fidelity are really part of the same overall value. So in truth, you could combine the two honesty commandments with the two fidelity commandments and give them simpler language, positive language instead of negative, and call the whole thing, thou shalt always be honest and faithful, and we're down to three. Thou shalt, they're going away fast. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. This one is just plain fucking stupid. Coveting your neighbor's goods is what keeps the economy going. And all right? Your neighbor gets a vibrator that plays "Oh Come All Ye Faithful." You want to get one too. Coveting creates jobs. Leave it alone. You throw out coveting and you're down to two now, the big honesty and fidelity commandment, and the one we haven't talked about yet, thou shalt not kill, murder, the fifth commandment. But when you think about it, religion has never really had a big problem with murder. Not really. More people have been killed in the name of God than for any other reason. All you have to do, sure. All you have to do is look at Northern Ireland, the Middle East, Kashmir, the Inquisition, the Crusades, and the World Trade Center to see how seriously the religious folks take thou shalt not kill. The more devout they are, the more they see murder as being negotiable. It's negotiable. You know? It depends. It depends on who's doing the killing and who's getting killed. So, with all of this in mind, I leave you with my revised list of the two commandments. Thou shalt always be honest and faithful to the provider of thy nookie. And thou shalt try real hard not to kill anyone, unless, of course, they pray to a different invisible man from the one you pray to. Two is all you need. Moses could have carried him down the hill in his fucking pocket. And if they had a list like that, I wouldn't mind those folks in Alabama putting it up on the courthouse wall. As long as they included one additional commandment, thou shalt keep thy religion to thyself. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Yes. Classic words of wisdom from George Colin. And that's going to close out our radio obituary for Reverend Billy Graham. We spent a lot of time on him, didn't we? But I had a lot to say about that, having grown up Catholic myself, but I'm a Reformed Catholic. I got over it. Anyway, moving on, our penultimate radio obituary is for Tom Rapp, who founded Pearls Before Swine, an eclectic band much loved by aficionados of the underground music scenes of the 1960s and early 70s. He then became a civil rights lawyer, only to take an encore after being out of music for over 20 years. He died on Sunday, February 11th, at his home in Melbourne, Florida. He was 70 years old. The cause of death was cancer, his son David said. Mr. Rapp was not yet 20 in 1966 when, on a lark, he and a few friends sent a demo tape to ESP Disc, an adventurous record company whose roster included the Fugs, an underground rock band known for humor and bowdiness. We said, "You have the Fugs. We're not like the Fugs, but you might be interested anyway," he recalled in an interview for Jason Weiss's book, Always in Trouble, an oral history of ESP Disc, the most outrageous record label in America. That was in 2012. As they immediately sent a letter or telegram, "Yeah, come sign up with us, do a record." It was easier in those days, apparently, to get a record. The result was One Nation Underground, released in 1967, which became a favorite on college and underground radio. The album is full of unusual instrumentation and was recorded in 4 days, primarily on Impact Sound at the Impact Sound Studio in New York. Our penultimate radio obituary for Tom Rapp here at WMFO.
Drop out with me. Just live your life behind your eyes, your own sky. Just be yourself. No one can step inside your mind from behind. If you just walk out, don't you worry, girl, don't you worry. Whole world's in bigger. They made the rules and they laid it on us all. Don't you fall, 'cause then they'll own you. Don't you worry, girl, don't you worry. Whole world's in bigger.
any excuse to play the Fugs twice in one radio show, huh? Okay, well, our final radio obituary is for Buzz Clifford. He was an American pop singer and songwriter. His biggest success came with his recording of Babysittin' Boogie in 1961, which peaked at number 6. Clifford was born in Berwyn, Illinois. He played guitar as a child and won several talent competitions as a teenager. He signed with Bow Records at age 15, releasing a few singles but finding no success. After signing with Columbia Records, he released a single, Hello Mr. Moonlight, which did not chart, but the follow-up, Babysittin' Boogie, did. That record went on to sell over 1 million copies, and as a result of its success, Columbia tried to groom Clifford as a heartthrob pop singer. He appeared on American Bandstand and toured the United Kingdom with Freddie Cannon and Dion. Clifford's fame was short-lived, however. Further singles went nowhere. And he's our final radio obituary for tonight, Buzz Clifford.
My girl babysits for someone on her block. Then I come up to join her and we start to rock. The baby hears the beat, man, it is a shock when he goes. A rockin' type of boogie is the kind of song that makes this little baby wanna sing along. And though he maybe gets the tune a little wrong, he still goes. He isn't too young to really feel the beat. He rocks back and forth in his little seat. He claps both his hands and he taps his feet. And he sings. He is a hully-gully bouncing baby boy. You know the record player is his favorite toy. And don't forget he's everybody's pride and joy when he goes. I know there isn't anyone to take the bet, but surely he's the youngest teenager yet, and probably the hippest of the diaper set as he goes.
Yeah, man, I like that.
He strolls in his stroller with the radio on. It doesn't go to sleep until the music's gone. He imitates the singer in the group with a low-down voice. And when it's time to tuck him in his little bed, with all that music running through his sleepy head, the little fella doesn't say goodnight. Instead, he says,
boogie, 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 all gone.
All gone. And so are the radio obituaries for tonight. And so is Bubbles from the Think Tank, all gone for tonight. Well, just about anyway. According to that clock, digital clock up here on our wall, it is 12:59, 47, 48, 49. So we're coming up on 1 o'clock here at WMFL in Medford. No one's come through the doors yet to take over. So I'm going to have to turn you over to the WMFO...